Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you on President's Day 2022. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And we've got Dr. Peter Solomon with us today, who's the CEO over at what he calls the Beamer, B-E-A-M-E-R, at Beamer, thebeamer.com. And we're going to talk about some of the great books that he has written for students, literally pandemic teachable moments in science. And I hope you enjoy this show with Dr. Solomon. I know I'm going to enjoy it. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website, all about equity and access for all kids in pre-K-12 education. ace-ed.org. Our magazine, Equity and Access, is online over there. You'll love it if you take a minute to click through on the cover. All right. We have all of our podcasts like this one archived over there. You can also connect over to our social emotional learning site, which is called SEL Today. And that's at seltoday.org. And without further ado, let me bring on literally the one and only, maybe not, Dr. Peter Solomon. Are you the one and only, Peter?
No, actually, I discovered one day when I opened the New York Times and saw that Peter Solomon had endorsed some watch. And so there's an economist named Peter Solomon.
There you go.
But hi, Larry. Good to be
here.
Hi,
Peter. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, and happy Monday. Happy President's Day. It is President's Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent 45 minutes getting all my banking together this morning so I could take it over to the bank right after we were doing this show. Okay. And then I realized all the banks are going to be closed. What can I tell you? All right, so it'll save me some time tomorrow. It's amazing. If you, everybody, I do suggest you over to thebeamer.com. That'll flip you over, and Peter, you can talk about the way this works, over to something called the Stardust Mystery, which I just love. And I'm just going to read what you sent me, which I just love this. We each have more than let me start at the beginning. You've written some books, and the theme of the first book is that we're all made of stardust. That was once literally in the body of Albert Einstein and also the last T-Rex and anything else you can think of, okay? We're made up of 300 trillion carbon atoms that once belonged and were exhaled by Albert Einstein. Thank you, Albert. Okay, and more than 5,000 trillion atoms that we were once in a T-Rex that roamed the Earth. Talk about what you're trying to do here with all these great and fun facts and what you're doing with kids and everything over.
Well, so I am a scientist. I have written over 300 scientific papers and a book, and I have had a wonderful career in science. It was more like having fun than having to work. Doing, just figuring things out and investigating things and learning new things. I wanted to pass on that passion for science to the younger generation. And my thought was that the way to do that was through telling stories. There are so many wonderful, wonderful stories about scientific things, that to tell those stories, not to try to present science the way they do in school with all the facts and all the math, but to try to just tell the story. And so that has been the focus of what we are trying to do. And the two books that I created, the genre is called Science Fact-Based Time Travel Adventure Fiction. And so hopefully kids can read those books and enjoy the time travel adventures, but learn a lot of science when they are when they're doing that.
Peter, when we say kids, kids is a broad word. What age group are you thinking of?
Well, we've had kids as young as 7 enjoy the book, and probably they're going to age out at age 13, because the books have seven or eight major characters in them, and the characters are all middle school and first year high school.
Cool.
So it'll
go ahead, please. Continue. I'm sorry.
It'll appeal. The primary target audience is the middle school kids. The late elementary is fine, and there are some kids that at age seven are really into this stuff.
Yeah, they really are. Well, I was one of them. I remember getting my chemistry set. Not that I ever really understood chemistry. My Gilbert chemistry set when I was a kid. You probably had one too. You probably had one too.
No, I never had a chemistry set. Interesting you mentioned that. The inspiration for doing this actually came just after my 12th grandchild was born.
Cheaper by the dozen.
Yeah. No, it isn't cheaper at all. At any rate, having written all of this science stuff, I had always thought I'd like to write a novel, and I could never think of what the subject was. But then when the 12th grandkid was born, I said, I'm going to write books for kids that are stories that can teach them science. Well, the 12th grandchild is now 7 years old. He has just gotten a chemistry set, and now he calls grandpa up for getting some technical advice. But he's the one amongst the kids and the grandkids that looks like he's going to be a scientist. And he was here about 3 weeks ago in Connecticut. They live in New York. And he blew me away with the following. He has this game where he can take parts of different animals and put them together into creating a new animal. Well, most kids would talk about, I'm going to take the turtle shell, and I'm going to take the head of a crow, and I'm going to take the feet of a chicken. He started describing it like he was taking the DNA from these different animals.
Wow. And there you go with Stardust again, if I may. That somehow, that's pretty cool, I got to tell you. That's a smart kid. Okay, that's a smart kid. And I wouldn't write off the other 11. I don't know how old they all are, but you never know where they're going to wind up. Science could be in their future. Which actually, and let's look at this like two old guys talk, all right? Okay, do you think the kids these days, we've been talking a lot in schools about STEM education, science, technology, engineering, math. And a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, which is fine, with the engineering side, okay, and the technical side, coding and all that sort of thing. And those things are very important to get through these years, and these are professionals we need. But as you look at science these days, and you have your grandchildren and your kids, okay, they've all been through this. Do you think we're lacking a little bit in science education? Do you think kids appreciate science like they should? And I'm going to go back to when you and I were kids. I know, we don't know each other personally, but we're about the same age, okay? You know, the space race was going on. There was a thing for science, okay? I don't know. Do kids still have that these days? What's your thoughts?
Well, the 7-year-old grandkids, the young kids have wonderful curiosity, and they want to find out things. My feeling, and I've been to the middle school, and I've done some teaching in the middle school, and I find that that's when the kids get turned off to science, when it starts getting presented formally, rigorously, and that's where my complaint is. I think start out doing the science much more with stories, And I think that is a better way to get the kids interested in the science. And I'll go back. First of all, let me just mention that the books, the characters in the books, four of them, the characters are based on my grandkids. So for people who have writers who
that's
have
great.
Grandkids, it's a wonderful use for grandkids.
Yeah.
They got to be
yeah.
useful for something. So they're my characters.
That's funny. Okay.
So
how'd you come? Go ahead, please. Yeah.
Well, I was going to talk about one of the stories that is I think is fascinating. I read recently a book called Breaking the Code. It was by Walter Isaacson, and it was about. It's a very interesting book, and it really is.
What's it about? What's it about?
It is about the subtitle is Jennifer Doudna. She won a Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 2020, I believe, for her work on gene editing. She has developed a technology that allows the cutting and pasting of genes to make changes in the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing piece of science.
To say the least.
The fascinating story is that this science that they did is based on what bacteria did 3 billion years ago. And this is a story that I told to the 7-year-old grandchild, and he loved the story. And I'll tell you what he ended up doing. But the story is that doing some science on bacteria, a Spanish scientist discovered that there was some sort of a strange repeating structure in the DNA. And he figured out that this repeating structure, which had other pieces in the middle, that the pieces in the middle were pieces of virus RNA. So what the bacteria had developed is an immune system. If a virus attacked and they survived the attack, the bacteria would take a chunk of the DNA and put it in its own DNA
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
a mugshot.
Well.
So now the bacteria has a mugshot for the virus. So if any other virus of that strain attacks,
it can recognize it,
and then it has another piece of chemistry that can go in and chop up the virus. Terrific. 3 million years ago.
3 million years. Have we done better since then? Are we doing better since then?
Have we improved? Doudna and her partner, Charpentier, saw this wonderful piece of science, and they said, wow, why don't we just plagiarize the chemistry that the bacteria used, and we can make it into a gene editing tool. We can cut and paste just like the bacteria did. And they have now taken that technology, and they've actually developed a cure for sickle cell anemia.
Wow.
They go in and edit the bone marrow cells so that they don't produce sickle cells anymore. It's expensive, but there are other ways of using that technology in an amazing fashion. Well, at any rate, I told the grandson the story of the 3-billion-year-old bacteria that taught us this lesson. And the next thing I know, he comes up with he's got this invention that he's got, and he showed me a picture of it to create CRISPR babies. Where the parents want to create a CRISPR baby, they put in the different features that they want the baby to have, the color eyes and the color hair and how big he is and kind of his athletic ability. And he shows this diagram where he feeds that into a pneumatic tube that goes to the factory to produce the CRISPR baby.
Right. Smart kid. So, I got to tell you, what grade is this kid in? Second grade? What is it, seven years? Second grade?
Yeah, second grade. Yeah. But that's the kind of thing you can get with just the story.
You can't, and you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I'll tell you, any kid, okay, who thinks that they can get the, quote, atoms of a T-Rex, you tell that to a kid, and suddenly they have an interest in science that's going to be beyond belief. So they're walking around with the same atoms as a T-Rex. They'll figure out who Einstein is later. You know, I want to ask you something, and all the things that you're doing, your website is really fun to look at. All right, and again, it's thebeamer.com and then thestardustmystery.com. Your website is to me, did you develop this website? You're an old guy like me. How did you develop such a cool website?
Oh, well, I don't do the coding, but
it's pretty good.
My coder on the other end, and we work together, and she does the coding, and I...
Well, she's pretty amazing.
I make pictures, and then she copies them and does that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, making pictures is not that easy. I'll tell you, everybody, it's a great website. I want to ask you this, and this is a key thing, all right? And I noticed here, but the words learn more, blocking out a little bit of what I want to see. Talk to me about the characters in the books, all right? And the reason I'm asking that, and I think we talked about this before, I think there's an African-American – is there an African-American kid pictured in there?
There are two African American kids.
Yeah.
One is Jackson, who they call Boy Genius, and the other one is Johari, his sister, who's also not so dumb. and they're the two of them win the contest. The Stardust Mystery Contest is a contest where the aim is to figure out what Stardust is and how it gets from the T-Rex to us. And it's a fictional contest. It's worldwide, so there are teams from all over the world. The rule is that the kids have to be under 13 years old or under, and Jackson and Johari win the contest. My guys, modeled after the grandkids, come in second. Because there are only two, the teams could be up to four, but the Jackson and Johari are only two. So my kids get to go on the grand prize tour, which is a ride in this company's, Advanced Aerospace Company's, spaceship on a trip around the moon.
Nice. How was that?
And
what's the dark side like? Help me do it.
Excuse me?
Dark side. Yeah, the dark side of the moon. How was it?
Oh,
have you been there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they love seeing the dark side and getting the picture of the Earth with the moon scape in the foreground.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so cool. Like the old astronaut.
At any rate,
Jackson
is actually in college at age 13. He's a smart kid. That's how he knows all about Stardust and all of that stuff. And they win the contest because he just knows all that stuff. And he and his sister are incredibly smart. And so we've got two African-American kids. We've got two Latino kids. So there's a nice ethnic diversity.
Nice diverse mix. And that's very key these days, okay? It sounds, you know, sometimes when we say that, it sounds trite these days, but it's not trite. It's important these kids see themselves when they do these things, and especially kids in late elementary, middle school. It's really important because we don't want to waste any more kids. We want to get every kid involved. And there's another thing on your website, again, on Stardust Mystery, it's flashing. and it says, which I hope is not an accurate thing, that how Grandpa got the coronavirus or something. What is that? What's we're talking about? Science,
okay.
Moments during the pandemic, and the pandemic is all science, everybody. How Grandpa just flashed up. How Grandpa got COVID-19. Did you get COVID, Grandpa?
Well, no, he did not.
Good.
He
good.
He and his Grandpa and his wife, and I guess Grandpa's modeled after me.
I would hope.
And Grandpa and his wife, Sally, are actually our immediate family is like 25 with the 12 grandkids and the 6 kids and all of that. And 5 of us have managed not to get COVID. We're still hanging out there as the clean ones.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
any rate, I mean, we've yeah. had this, the second book, The Race to the Big Bang.
Yeah.
And of course, that's another one of the science, wonderful science stories. And that
yeah,
is
adventure, illustrated adventure book, everybody. The sequel to The Stardust Mystery.
Yeah, and it's all about the kids in a contest, another contest, and they are racing, and the race is minimize your screen time to do all of the scavenger hunts and all of the puzzles and get back in time to the Big Bang before anyone else. And the book takes place during the pandemic, and the kids. You know, or all of a sudden they get this horrible change in their lifestyle and school closes and everything else. And their one wonderful pastime for the pandemic is being part of this contest where they get together with the other kids online. There's a lot in the book about how the kids are handling the pandemic and what they do for their pastimes. But at the end of the book in the epilogue, and the contest takes place in a virtual world, and where the kids can time travel and space travel and change size and do all kinds of things in this race. Well, the characters decide that they are going to, and they ask the company for permission. Can they use the virtual world to teach kids about the pandemic, how you get COVID, and how you get a vaccine that can give you immunity? And so they produce, in the story, in the epilogue, they produce 2 movies, one about how Grandpa gets COVID, and the other about the mRNA vaccine that gives us immunity. Well, we actually did produce those movies as well. It turns out one of the other things we've got is video games, and you can use video games and the characters in the game to produce movies. And so we have 3 movies on our website and also in YouTube. Well, the links, they are in YouTube and the links are in the website where anyone can go to our YouTube website, which is called Stardust Mystery, and you can find the 3 videos all about this amazing teachable moment from the pandemic. And what is the teachable moment? It's about biology and gene engineering and genetics. So here's the story. Bacteria or viruses do not have the ability to reproduce. So back 3 million years ago, they decided, well, the thing they'll do is use the bacteria. The bacteria have in their cells a factory that does reproduction. And the way it does it is it gets a piece of the bacteria's DNA. And in us, for example, we have cells that do this, and the factories are called ribosomes. We get a piece of DNA, and the factory then produces a substance based on that DNA, actually called messenger RNA.
Yep.
So our stomach, we need pepsin. And so the body's cells produce a messenger RNA based on our DNA, send it to the ribosomes. The ribosomes produce the pepsin. The pepsin goes to the stomach. Well, the viruses are smart. I can't reproduce myself, but these bacteria and humans, they have the factories. So I get into the human, and I stick my RNA into the cell, to the ribosomes, and it makes new me's. Wow. And so one of the videos is about how Grandpa got sick, and it's about how the virus goes into the body and hijacks our cells and our factories and produces copies of itself. And that's what makes us sick.
You know,
well,
I was going to say, we got to wind down. So, Peter, is there a cost for this, for teachers to go in here and figure it all out and work with you? Is there a cost?
Cost for what?
Of all the things you're doing, the books, et cetera.
Oh, most of the stuff is free. All of the videos are free. And there are all kinds of short stories on the different subjects, and they're all free. And there's some lesson plans for free. And we're just started distributing this week, or last week, we started distributing a lesson on Stardust that is free. It's a 1 or 2 day lesson using a PowerPoint. So all of that stuff is free. The books have a cost, and the video games have a cost, but everything else is free.
Okay, good enough, and it's great stuff. And Peter, I love talking to you. You're really a smart guy, and you really put this together for a lot of people, and I think it's going to be just great. Okay, so everybody, do you want them to know thebeamer.com? Is that the right website to go to?
I would just go to thestardustmystery.com.
There you go. And I'll make sure people
eliminate, you know, use the shortcut.
You got it. Okay, go straight to the source. Peter Solomon, Dr. Solomon, thank you. You're a good grandpa. Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome. Thank you, Larry.
Oh, you're welcome. You take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dr. Solomon, everybody. Peter Solomon, go to thestardustmystery.com. And we'll archive this show over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Can't thank you enough for listening. Have a good day.